Nestled away in the heart of the East Usambara Mountains in northeast Tanzania, the Amani Nature Reserve is a serene and lushly vegetated area of forest covering 20,000 acres. It is here that one small project is positively impacting the lives of people in surrounding village communities, all made possible by the Kipapeo, Swahili for butterfly. Now in its 10th year of operation, the Amani Butterfly Project is a non-profit organisation which has been generating income for local butterfly farmers from 6 villages by helping them to farm and market native butterflies, some of which are exclusive to the region. Our guide and project manager, Amiri Saidi, tells us more about the background of the project.
I'm Mr. Amiri Saidi Shegembe. I'm the Amani Butterfly Project Manager. Our project started in the year 2001, and initially it was just the whole idea come from the American guy called Mr. Theron Brown, the one who bring this idea of butterfly farming to Amani, to the East Usambaran Mountains.
I'm Theron Brown. I'm the founder and former technical advisor for the Amani Butterfly Project. Initially, it was based on a similar project in Kenya, which I hadn't visited previously, but I had spent some time in East Africa and had heard about that project and also had other kind of relevant experience and was inspired basically to come back after having had such a good time here in East Africa as a student and wanted to do something productive. And this seemed to be able to combine some of my interests and my expertise into something that could possibly work. I was involved in a captive rearing program for a threatened species of butterfly on the Oregon coast while at university. And I also remembered that when I was traveling as a student in East Africa, I had gone to the Usambara Mountains and seen lots of really nice butterflies. And so I thought that it seemed like someplace that this kind of project might be able to work. At the beginning, it was a constant struggle. The research suggested that it was very plausible. I had actually located potential buyers before we even started the project. I'd figured out how to farm several species, and there was, you know, obviously lots of really good, attractive species in the area that would be good for butterfly exhibits. So it seemed like it should work. But then, of course, there was the political challenges, and I think the first step was I presented the idea to the conservator of the nature reserve, who was very aware of my research up until that point. I had gotten permission to do it. And he said, "Oh, that, yes. Well, you can't do that here, though, because this is a nature reserve, and it's a, you know, a non-extractive area, and the project idea requires that butterfly farmers be able to capture some butterflies out of the wild periodically." And so he said, no, maybe you can take this idea somewhere to the north of here, and then there won't be a problem. And I was like, you know, was really surprised because we had been, you know, talking about this project and the potential idea for a project for a long time. And then when the moment that I decided to actually try and do something, they said, no, we can't do that here. So in addition to having to shift our location idea a little bit, and we couldn't really move very far from where we were because we needed the particular species that we were thinking about working with, but also we couldn't go further into the mountains because transportation is a major issue. You have to be able to get the pupae to market quickly, within one day. And if going further than that would make it unreliable. We'd have trouble, especially during the rains. It just wouldn't be accessible. And so that was one challenge. The other major challenge was we had to get permission from the Wildlife Division to do this. And this kind of project had never been done before in the country. And their setup is really organized around wildlife hunting, tourism hunting. And they really had no idea of how to place us and work us within the existing policies. And that was quite a challenge. It took us about a year of sort of advocating and frequently visiting them to eventually get them to approve and let us start the project.
We are working under Tanzania Forest Conservation Group as an NGO in Tanzania, and they are 100% dealing on conservation issues. So they are hardly working on conservation, especially try to look on different ways, alternatives to conservation, either through education, awareness raising, and this like a butterfly project as income generating activities. The initial funding of starting the project, first we got the fund from the UNDP, small grant, and also from the Irish Aid on the starting of the project. And the fund was initial as the capital to start the project.
The Imani Butterfly Project has been generating income through the sale of pupa to live butterfly exhibits in the US and Europe, selling for between $1 and $2.50 each. Of that sum, 65% goes directly to the farmers, 28% goes back into the project, while the remaining 7% goes to a community development fund that contributes to projects in participating villages, all in a country where an estimated 58% of the population live on less than a dollar a day.
My name is Alfonsi Kalagi, and I've been a butterfly farmer for 6 years now. I started in August 2007. I work about 4 hours per day as a butterfly farmer. When I wake up in the morning, I go to the cage and wash some utensils there. I spend about half an hour preparing, putting some water and flowers in there. Then I go about my other activities on the farm. Then I will be coming again in the afternoon hours and checking the larva, putting some plants there, and exchange the plants which have been used. In the evening, I will come back to the cage again, collect eggs, and also take the plants which have been eaten by the caterpillars.
Those are eggs of butterfly. The pupa stage is the part which is sold. So if they keep the eggs for 5 days, and then it will be hatched to be caterpillar, and then after 3 weeks to 1 month, there will be pupa, and that stage is the one which is sold to the market. That is kind of the product they are working for.
Yeah.
So it's very sensitive. They take it and put it somewhere ready for the market. Every butterfly has its own host plant. If papilla will feed on this plant, it will hatch here, and the caterpillar will feed on this plant.
My name is Omari Athumani, and I have been working as a butterfly farmer since August 1997. When I started as a butterfly farmer, my life was not in a good condition. I lived in a wooden house, thatched with grasses, but after working as a butterfly farmer, I managed to have this house.
The village dwellings are not the only things improving as a result of the revenue generated by the project, as Amiri explains.
In terms of how this project benefits the community, our first sales was in year 2004. At the beginning, the sales was very low, it's like $20,000 per year. So the sales go on rising up to 2009, which whereby we managed to sell around $90,000 per year. So that was the maximum sales. Some of the villages, they are earning more money. And as you can see, I think they manage even to have the pipe water in their villages. Some of the money they use on building classrooms. Some of the villages, they manage to connect between one village and another one by making the small bridges. So it depends on the earnings of the village, 7%. Some of the incentives, as I've said, 7% to the community development fund. You can see this, it touch all the community, because every member of the community want to be the butterfly farmer, but the room is not that enough. So for this 7%, you see, it touch all the community. And for the projects like this pipe water, every community know that you need to conserve the forest so that you can have water. You can have water from the tap. So you can see all the community now, they have that understanding of conservation, that they need to conserve so that they can get water.
With regard to the environment, the project has acted as an educational tool for many who were previously unaware of the importance of forest conservation.
Before the butterfly farming, I was lumbering, cutting trees and making timber in the forest. I didn't even know I was destroying the environment, but I came to realize the damage I was doing once I was a butterfly farmer. I am no longer in that lumbering business, and I am asking others to help conserve the environment for the future generation.
There's big population of community living surrounding these natural forests. So they really need the alternative source of income, which is environmental friendly also. So that's why we started this butterfly farming in this area. They are getting money. People, they are selling pupa. They are getting money from butterfly sales. So automatically it helps them to reduce the pressure of the dependence of the forest. Because before, most of the people, they were doing illegal lumbering, and they see the forest as 100% source of income, doing illegal activities. And also, it's not only for timbers and so on. Some people also, they were engaging on illegal poaching of insects. They were selling illegal the butterflies, the beetles, and a lot of other insects. But when the project started, at least the community themselves, they knew the importance. So they are like the reporter of any illegal activities inside the forest.
For my master's, after I left the project, pursued a master's at the University of Florida, and my research proposal was actually looking at some of these other effects of the project. And I found in my research, some evidence, especially to suggest that butterfly farmers were more actively involved in conservation activities, that they drew a direct connection between their ability to farm butterflies and forest conservation in their area. And, that was what we always hoped, to see, but wasn't necessarily a guarantee. It was sort of, we expected this to be the case. And what we found in the research was actually is that when we asked people to rank their income sources, those people who ranked butterfly farming as their first or second most important source of income were more likely than anybody else in the same communities to be involved in these conservation activities.
My name is Waziri Hatibu. I started working as a butterfly farmer in 2004 in the village of Fanuzi. By working with the Butterfly Project, I have been able to conserve the environment because I have come to understand that if I destroy the environment, there will be no butterflies. So I started to respect the environment to ensure there would be enough butterflies available. The butterflies depend on some of the plants in the area.
Involving women in the project was an important focus for the Tanzanian Conservation Group from the outset, and for much of the project's 10-year existence, women have accounted for up to 50% of the farmers. Rosie Marishali has been a butterfly farmer for 7 years.
My name is Rosie Marishali, and I've been working as a butterfly farmer for 7 years now. After having the opportunity to become a butterfly farmer, the farming has not stopped me from doing my usual activities. I work early in the morning and feed the butterflies, and come in the afternoon to collect the eggs. I come again in the evening. I take the caterpillars to the special place that I keep them and feed them so they become larvae, at which stage the buyers come. Since becoming a butterfly farmer, there has been many changes to my life. I have managed to have a house, a bicycle, and my condition has improved a lot. When we began the butterfly farming, people were laughing at us. They said we were wasting our time because we didn't know what would be happening later. But now, when they see the changes happening, they decided to write a special request so they could become members of the butterfly farm. I have inspired a lot of my friends and I've made more people trust me. If I need something from a shop, I can just go and ask, and I'll be given it because they know I have money at the end of the month.
More important than gaining respect from the local shopkeeper, being involved in the project has enabled women to have a voice at the local village meetings, where they decide how community funds, generated through butterfly farming as well as through other means, should be spent. It was at a Fanuzi village meeting that the women pushed for the development of a new pipe water system, so they would no longer have to travel many miles by foot each day in order to access a crucial daily amenity. Aileen O'Donovan, development specialist with Irish Aid, elaborates on their work empowering women in Tanzania.
Gender equality is one of our main priorities in our program in Tanzania, and we're working with both the government and civil society to empower women to have equal rights. We work both in agriculture and also around health, supporting maternal health. Gender equality is critical in terms of ensuring that women have access to markets, have access to incomes, and actually are empowered to make decisions. For example, in agriculture, while women do a lot of the labor, they may not necessarily have actually access to land or may not have access to the market and actually are not part of the decision making. For example, most of it would be men making those decisions. But what we've learned is that by supporting women to be part of those processes and to play a critical role in terms of agriculture and the decision-making, then you can see developments. If a woman, we've been promoting within our agriculture gender equality in relation to ensuring that technology is gender-friendly. It allows women more time so that they can look after the children, feed the children, and improve nutrition. Also, we've, in terms of giving women decision-making power so they can actually access markets, sell their produce, increase their income, and often women use their income for the family to improve the education and livelihood. At the moment, Tanzania is going through the constitutional review, which is a really important process, and we're working with civil society to support that process and advocate to ensure that in that process, gender issues are addressed and gender rights.
The idea of trying to get a lot of women involved in the project was something that, it wasn't necessarily my idea, it was a good idea. I think it probably initially came from the Tanzania Forest Conservation Group. It's a focus of all of their activities is to try and involve women as much as possible. And butterfly farming is a great activity because it, you know, at least in the Tanzanian context, it doesn't really kind of conflict with some of the other responsibilities that women, you know, sort of, that society puts on women in here. And so it's something you can do in your backyard. It doesn't require demanding physical labor. And it was sort of like a perfect, you know, income-generating activity for anybody to participate in. So we, right off from the very beginning, we tried to get at least half of the farmers who were, you know, to be involved to be women.
My name is Mwana Misi Juma. I've been working as a butterfly farmer for 10 years now. I have a voice in the community now. I can say something at the village meetings. Before, I was just a woman. Now, I am equal. Being in the butterfly group has given me courage to speak in the village.
Despite its successes to date, the Imani Butterfly Project has faced stiff challenges since 2010. The rapid growth in sales of pupa slowed down significantly when new EU regulations were introduced on the exportation of live animals. These regulations included the shipment of pupa. Teron Morgan Brown explains.
When I left the project at the end of 2005, I think we were just getting started. We had like sales, I think, that year of I think close to $60,000, something like that, or maybe it was $45,000. And then the next year, the project, entirely under Amiri Saidi's leadership, went up to $60,000, and then the next year after that, it went up to $90,000 a year in sales. And it sold about that level for a couple of years. And then we had this problem with shipping, and that resulted in losing access, especially to the U.S., which was really unfortunate because the shipping rule changes from what we understood were actually imposed in Europe. But for some reason, DHL made a blanket ban and prevented us from shipping to the U.S. And, yeah, so they lost a lot of customers. It has definitely hurt the project. What was nice about having, you know, many customers before was that it meant that during the low season, which is when most exhibits are closed, you always had a few exhibits were open and you could continue to sell butterflies during the northern winters period, and you would have low sales but continue on. Whereas now I think the project pretty much shuts down, you know, during this period because sales are so low.
100% of the buyers, they are from outside, so we are much depending on exporting. One of the big challenge now we are facing is like the means of shipping pupa. Before, we were shipping the pupa by using DHL. The cost was very minimal. It was not that expensive. It attracted most of the buyers. they were using DHL because it is very reliable and it was cheap. And the alternative, we are forced to use the air cargoes, which is very, very expensive, especially when you are shipping the pupa in small quantity. So it's hard for the small exhibit, it's hard for the small buyers. So now we're just relying on the wholesaler. And like I said, now we're just depending on one wholesaler, which is Stratford in the UK. It's the only buyer which remains. It is good. We're still surviving because they are taking a lot of pupa, like, I don't know, 1,000 up to sometimes 1,500 per week. So that's the only way we're still surviving. If not that, I think the project had gone up to this time. So we're still depending on one buyer.
The farmers of Fanusi village are also aware of these challenges.
I am happy that this butterfly project was introduced to Fanusi because it has helped to increase my income. Prices for the butterflies, or pupa, need to increase to ensure the project continues in the future. At the moment, the prices are not sufficient for us and the market is very small. We don't sell everything we are producing. We sell a small fraction of what we produce. If there was a good market, this would ensure the stability of the project in the future.
Although seen as a significant blow to the project, the new EU regulations have highlighted the project's dependency on foreign buyers and exportation procedures. It is now eager to source buyers in local regions such as Kenya, Uganda, and other parts of Tanzania, and perhaps establish butterfly exhibits in areas where there are lots of tourist activity.
We want to boost the local market, starting making framed butterflies, jewels made from the butterfly wings. I think that will help us on boosting the local market. So alternatively is maybe to try to invest on the local market, maybe trying to open the butterfly exhibits on the area where there's much activities of tourist activities. That's part of our plan. Also, there's the butterfly exhibit in Kenya, near country, in Mombasa, I think. I think they will open soon, I don't know, September or October. I think that also will help us because we are near too, so we can just ship our pupa near.
Morgan Brown is no longer as heavily involved with the project as he once was, but he still describes it as his baby and acts as an advisor whenever Saidi and his team require a second opinion. Being the brains behind the project, he hopes that it can obtain alternative sources of revenue through spin-off markets to ensure its survival. He shares one innovative idea with us.
In the US right now, and I think in a few other places as well, but mainly in the US, there's actually quite a large market for butterfly releases at weddings. And in Tanzania, weddings are a very big deal. People contribute a lot of money. So generally, even people who are not necessarily very well off have very fancy weddings. And there are certain traditions that get us, once they get established, like everybody has to have that at their wedding. And it would be fantastic if we could make that happen for butterfly releases. And there are, there are certain species of butterflies which are ubiquitous in Tanzania, which if you could farm relatively easy and you could release anywhere in the country without, creating any kind of ecological danger. And that would be fantastic to see that happen.
Having spent numerous days with Amiri Saidi, trekking hours from village to village in the dense forest, we were interested to know what his thoughts were on the impact of a project he has been at the heart of since its inception 10 years ago, and how he feels when he sees its tangible benefits in each village.
Some of the positive impact, some of them is hard to see them because it is more individual. So the farmers, they are getting money and they invest themselves. But some of them you see is real positive, like the pipe water project. That is one of the big achievement to the village. Every time you can see people, they are happy because before, like, they were going very far to in order to get the water. We are using the river water or sometimes the well water, which it was very far from their home. But now you can see everybody will remember the project. It's such an achievement. Yeah, I'm proud of that. Yeah.
With no shortage of innovative ideas among those involved with the project, from butterfly releases to establishing local butterfly exhibits near tourist attractions, it is hoped that the Imani Butterfly Project will remain resilient despite market challenges for the next decade and beyond, and continue to generate income for local farmers, empower women, and encourage conservation. All this the product of an idea born out of a college paper, but one which has spearheaded a new and profitable Tanzanian export industry owned by the producers and solely reliant on local resources. The kipapeo.
Oh Tanzania, oh Africa.
This documentary was produced and edited by Paul Loughran and Joseph O'Connor. We would like to thank the Imani Butterfly Project, Irish Aid and Theron Morgan Brown for their participation in this documentary. Male and female translations are voiced by Keelan Ryan and Sonia Shields. The programme was made with the support of the Simon Cumbers Media Fund.
Serengeti kweli jamani maendeleo ni makubwa.